Welcome to Sword Radio. This is your host, Buffy St. John. Oftentimes we desire to fit in and fear people in authority who may have an influence over us. Be they our boss, best friend, or another person from whom we desire acceptance or love. We then have a tendency to try to please that other person, even if it means that we have to compromise ourselves. Sometimes what we compromise is our dignity, our morals, or our ethics. What is compromise? Let's look at what Webster's Dictionary has to say. To adjust or settle by partial mutual relinquishment of principles, positions, or claims. To put in jeopardy, endanger as life, reputation, or dignity by some act that cannot be recalled. Expose to suspicion, discredit, or mischief one's conscience. To cause a person embarrassment, humiliation, or shame by improper erotic advances or by allowing the suspicion of such to arise. To make a shameful or disreputable concession, often used with principles. You see, the guilt and shame leave an unsettling feeling deep down inside, and your conscience bothers you. Left unchecked or casually overlooked for the sake of acceptance, the downward spiral of having your worth be dependent on what others say, feel, or think about you takes over, and years later you find yourself without identity and dependent on another's whims to guide you. You try to break away and find yourself in a mess bigger than you could imagine, and you don't know how to escape. How did this happen? Why does this happen to nice people? Why is acceptance so important? You could try to tell yourself that it doesn't matter if they like you or not. You could even live part of your life flaunting the untruth that it doesn't matter, thereby acting out to prove that you could care less, all the while you seethe with rage and animosity towards anyone that doesn't seem to accept you, let alone understand you. This leads to isolation and more pain and disappointment. The reality, no matter how much you try to cover it up, is that you really care if you are accepted or loved by others. Acceptance is the sweet nectar of life that tells you that you belong, that you matter, that you have a purpose, a place in this world, a world within a world in which you are an integral part of. Why, if you weren't there, how would they get along without you? How would this microcosm of a world continue to orbit? It's interesting to note in Scripture that the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I believe he's trying to tell us something here. We keep looking to others for acceptance. Well, let me ask you, have you tried him? In every aspect of our lives, acceptance is the very essence of community, love, and accomplishments, the essence of life. If you apply for a job, your application is accepted or rejected. In everything you do, you are either accepted or rejected. We put so much worth on being accepted that industries make billions of dollars preying on our dilemma. Fashion, cosmetics, personal grooming, automobiles, food, publishing, medical, and various other industries bank on acceptance. They sell you any product or gimmick, all espousing the idea that if you use, purchase, or own this product, you will miraculously be accepted by others, and your life will be imbued with love, power, and everything you desire will fall into your lap. My question is, why then do we have to continue buying these products, and why are they new and improved upon from one year to the next? Others set out to be the center of this little world, where everything evolves around them, playing out their authoritative roles to the hilt. They seem to have a radar for people who are a bit unsure of themselves. They have a field day picking and choosing who they want to enslave and exert the power of influence over their lowly, needy lives. In actuality, they see others as parasites ripe for the picking. They are not concerned about others, but selfishly use others to enhance their self-perception of greatness and power. They consider themselves demigods of their universe and those around them their subjects. Got one of those in your life? What I find fascinating is that this takes place in all levels and aspects of social status. Money isn't necessary. You can go into any prison system anywhere in the world and find this system in full operation. You find it in the gutters, in homelessness, social caste systems, and in the most affluent areas. This is no respecter of person or socioeconomics. I would venture to say that you would find this in the animal kingdom. Psalm chapter 53, verses 1 through 4 says, The fool has said in his heart, There is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They have altogether become filthy. There is none that doth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. Well, you know, I'm sure that they will get their just reward. Those that use others for their own gain are walking a very dangerous path. You see, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, it says, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Let's go back to you and your feelings of worthlessness, your depression, the lie you live in, the abuse you take, and the fear that drives you. When did you believe the lie? Was it as a child when you were told that you would never amount to anything? Or was it when someone you loved and was to love you in return betrayed you? Maybe it was when that safe environment was not really safe and things happened to you that should not happen to a little child by someone who should be protecting you from those things. Maybe you believed that it was your fault. You caused them to hurt you because you don't fit or stupid or worthless. Unfortunately, this has been the course of your life, and you always seem to fall in with a crowd or a person that will abuse you or exert an influence over you which brings out this desire to please them and to be accepted and loved by them. It has happened for so long that you don't know how to break away or act different. You come to Christ and you keep asking Him if you're okay, if you've done enough, if He still loves you. And when you stumble and fall, you seem to drown in the aftermath of guilt and condemnation as it washes all over you. And you ask, "Do you think I'm worth saving?" In anguish, you sob your heart out with, "I'm so sorry, oh God, forgive me. Why can't I just do one thing right? Was that my last chance? Did I blow it? I can't expect Him to keep forgiving me over and over again. It's just not fair to Him. I wish I were dead." And just like that person in your life that preys on your weaknesses, God's arch enemy pounces in for the kill. "Aha," he says, "I've got them where I want them. As long as they feel worthless, weak, and incapable, I'll lead them away from the Savior." But you know something? Somewhere in the deepest recesses of your heart, you need to remember Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, where the Lord says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And as you remember, you wonder, could it be? Could He really love me that much? But I'm such a goof. Oh, if He could only love me. Allow the sweetness of the Holy Spirit to whisper His assurance in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, 'For thy sake they are killed all the day long.' We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." As you listen, please gain strength. Allow the sweetness of His love to wash over you and His peace to fill you as contentment satisfies the longing of your soul. Wow, you made it through another day. You start to sing, "Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God." And know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you're not living the life today and you want the assurance of His love and His acceptance, won't you just let Him in? Pray with me. "Jesus, I know I've messed up. I'm a sinner, and sometimes I just stumble and fall. Forgive me of my sins. I believe You are the Son of God and the only one that can love and accept me as I am. Come into my heart and live in me. Take care of me. I give You my life. Holy Spirit, guide me and lead me every day. In Jesus' name, amen." If you have prayed that prayer with me, write me via email, buffy@swordradio.com, or write me at P.O. Box 1695. That's P.O. Box 1695, Springfield, Missouri 65801. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And allow me to send you a New Believer's Packet absolutely free. Be sure to go to www.declaretheword.com to listen to more teachings and helps. God bless you, and until next time.